Welcome to episode 28 of the Puck and Punks podcast. Sketchy Cooley, Rookie Rochelle, what is up?
Yeah, man, not too much. These games have been pretty crazy. They haven't been the most exciting, but and that goes for both series. Mm-hmm. But they've had exciting moments.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like the games themselves have been lacking a tiny bit. Do you agree with that?
Actually, I was watching the games the past couple of days, and I don't know if it's like, you know, now that you're getting further in, teams are playing a little bit more conservative. You know, especially you've already got defensive minded teams like Montreal and the Islanders are anyway. But yeah, I don't know. It's other than like you said, like a couple little moments here, like. You know, I texted you during that Montreal game where like that Josh Anderson goal from Suzuki was literally just the lefty version of the Cole Caulfield goal the other night. But like, other than that, like it hasn't been the most exciting to watch, but it has definitely, you know, I'm still hooked. I'm still watching all the games. I'm absolutely not falling asleep during anything. It's still,
and Josh Anderson has been one of the most exciting players to watch.
Oh yeah. He's been banging the body left and right. And then finally now the goals are starting to come in. I as far as that trade is concerned, you know, I know that the big issue is always going to be his health was the big question mark, but so far I think the Max Domi for Anderson trade has been much more of a win for Montreal than Columbus, to say the least.
Yeah, it turns out when you get traded to a better team, sometimes you do better.
Yeah.
I don't sometimes know. I imagine if Max that. Domi was not on that team this year, he would have had a much better season.
Yeah, I mean, he had a 70-point season there a couple of years ago, so.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Yeah. He'll figure it out in Columbus.
I don't know if it's going to be in Columbus. I think Columbus is going to go into full rebuild here.
Yeah.
I think they have 3 first-round draft picks coming up. They have their own. They have Tampa's and they have Toronto's.
Yeah.
So Toronto, yeah, that pick won't be so bad. I think their own is the 5th overall. You know, Tampa's still to be determined. But man, I think they're going to look to maybe even get more.
Nah, they're going to move all the picks and they're going to get Jack Eichel. That's what they're going to do.
They are not going to do that. They are in full rebuild. No, they're going to trade.
No, make that kind of move.
They're going to trade one of the goalies.
Yep. Edmonton.
And that's going to, I don't know. These guys are, you know, Korpisalo and Merzlikins, both 27 years old. You know, you're going to get a decent return there. Seth Jones already told them, I'm not signing a deal.
Nope. He pretty much has not so quietly said that any team that isn't Colorado that trades for me is not getting an extension.
Yeah. So, and does Colorado even need him? I mean, we could say yes, because they just lost in the previous round, but I mean, another year of Cale Makar getting more experience, Bowen Byram, Connor Timmins, Sam Girard, I mean, Devin Taves.
Can you really do that kind of move? I think it's something. It's going to be around like Devin Taves and like a pick.
I don't know.
They make the move, which they shouldn't, because like they're so stacked on D as it is anyway. Like, yeah, a lot of them are younger players, but if you can hold out for one more year and get Seth Jones for only salary cap space, I would do that.
Yeah. And I mean, Colorado probably lose Ryan Graves to Seattle. Yep. That's my guess. But yeah, Seth Jones, if you're Columbus, you're not going to win next year. You're not going to be good. Why not move him now? You know, even knowing that, you know, a team goes, all right, we know we're not going to sign an extension now, but at least that gives us a year to, you know, talk a little bit, get to know them, show them our facilities, you know, get them acclimated to this area. You know, why not?
Yeah, I think the win-win for everyone is do the trade in the offseason, even if it's not Colorado, as an example. Have Seth Jones for the entire year for like a really, like, truly contending team. Like, let's say, for example, I don't know, if Vegas or whoever, you know, loses to Montreal in this series, then a Vegas can get him for 1 year, who a team that has already got like future cap, you know, problems anyway, you know, you're not going to keep him. So for 1 year, Seth Jones, fuck it. Everybody's on the same page. And then he goes to Colorado the year after. Everybody wins.
Yeah. I don't know if this Colorado thing's going to happen, but we'll see. The team that I think should trade for Seth Jones, I mean, I would hate to see it happen, but that would be the Flyers.
Yep.
A team that has the pieces, should be much better, needs, you know, another guy on the back end. You know, especially, you know, Provorov can't do everything on his own. You had a guy like Seth Jones, you're an automatic contender.
Yep. 100%.
But so that, you know, a trade involving Seth Jones is going to get you another first, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What about Zach Werenski? I mean, the writing's on the wall that this guy is eventually going to be a Detroit Red Wing.
Yeah.
I mean, how about we just get that over with now?
Just get 5 first round picks. Just do it all today.
I'm not even done.
Be done.
I'm not even done. Patrick Laine, RFA. The fuck do you need him for?
You don't. If you're rebuilding, you don't. I mean, I don't think they do anyway. He didn't really fit in. I mean, granted, now Brad Larsen is the head coach, but he's already there as an assistant anyway. Like, how different? Like, what's he going to do that Torts didn't do? Like, how different are his systems going to be? But I don't know. I didn't like the fit with Laine in Columbus to begin with. So, fuck it. Columbus is going to have half of the first round picks this year as they move everybody out. And then talk to you guys in 3 years.
So let's see. NHL draft 2021.
They can move Seth Jones to Boston, a team that probably wants to get another defenseman in.
Yeah. So, yeah, Columbus has the fifth, you know. Detroit calls and says, we want Zach Werenski. Do you think Columbus could get the sixth overall?
I would say, yeah, only because this is like kind of a weird draft. People are saying isn't really that deep. And it's a lot of a crapshoot players. Once you get out of like the top two or three, even, why not get Werenski for the sixth pick. And I'll probably just do that just straight up. I wouldn't really add much more to that.
Philadelphia at 13 for Seth Jones.
They would have to add.
Small add?
Yeah.
Like prospect B prospect?
Or some kind of like middling.
B prospect and like a middle
roster
pick.
Roster player, yeah.
Yeah, maybe to clear some space.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I keep saying it, Carolina. For Laine, that's the perfect fit in my eyes.
They gotta make Carolina shirts.
Yeah, I know. that's perfect. Trademark that immediately. but yeah, that they're probably going to be around the 20th pick. 20th overall for Laine.
Probably add just because of his name value.
Yeah,
I mean the fact that like, well, I know. I really don't like Laine as a player. Exciting to watch, like on the power play and stuff.
He's exciting to watch when he wants to play.
He wants to. The thing is that he could be an Ovechkin-like player. He has no interest in being it.
Yeah. Do you think Rod Brind'Amour could beat that into him? Any coach is going to.
I mean, how different do you think Rod Brind'Amour is from Tortorella in terms of like being a more hard-nosed? I mean, Brind'Amour, like the guys like love Brind'Amour.
I have no problem going up to a guy of Tortorella's size and saying fuck you. I'm not walking up to Rod the Bod.
I was gonna say the guy's nickname's Rod the Bod. It's not a guy that you know that you probably want to fuck with too much. And you know, also good for Roddy signing that 3-year deal, Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, all year there was that, you know, the rumor, well, not the rumor, but the report saying that, like, he's going to get all his boys hooked up first before he signs anything. And, it, you know, it sounds like, you know, especially with Tom Dundon being a little bit of a cheapskate and was finding every way possible to pay even their announcers under market value. I'm glad that he said, hey, if you want this team to fucking keep winning, you better start paying everybody. You're a billionaire. If you're going to own an NHL team, you can't spend pennies on the dollar and think it's going to work. So
yeah,
attaboy, Rod.
So I don't know. I think Columbus can make things very interesting. And of course they have other players to play with if they wanted to.
Cam Atkinson, I'm sure at this point, if you're going to start, you know, moving everybody out, Cam Atkinson's name's going to start popping up in rumors too.
Well, he's like the only guy over 30 on the team.
Yeah. His cap hit's what, 5.2 or 4.8, something in that neighborhood?
5.8.
Yeah, 5.8. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking at it now. He is the only person over 30 except for Nathan Gerby.
That's so crazy.
Cam Atkinson is 32. Nathan Gerby is 33. And then just UFAs. Zach Dalpe is 31. And Michael Delzato, UFA, is 30 years old.
It's so crazy to think that, like, we were just talking about, like, Cam Atkinson finally breaking out in the last few years, and he's already 32. I feel like he's, like, in my brain, he's, like, 26.
In my brain, he's only good against the Rangers.
Well, there's also that. Because is he a Connecticut boy, right?
Yeah.
He's from around here somewhere.
Rich boy out of Connecticut. Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I say it all the time. My favorite thing in sports, and I really only follow hockey and baseball, is player movement. To me, there's nothing more interesting than trying to create the perfect team and seeing how it works.
Who fits? Who doesn't fit? Why'd they fit? How is it that suddenly Verhaeghe's a stud here?
Does the cap? You know, how do you make it cap compliant? How do you make a trade? You know, how difficult? Like, we take it for granted because, like, you know, we play video games and we see some of these trades where, like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But just imagine calling, you know, it's one of, you know, 31 other teams, because now there's 32 teams, and you're trying to convince them that, you know, the player you have is worth X amount. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that's got to be to make a deal in this league. But it's very interesting, to say the least. You know, my eyes are still on Dougie Hamilton. As you know, we just bring up Carolina. You know, they gave him permission to talk to other teams for the potential sign-in trade, so he could get the eighth year. Carolina could get a little bit of value out of this expiring asset. So it's interesting. I think, you know, I brought up Seth Jones to Philadelphia. I think Dougie Hamilton is definitely going to be on their radar as well. And I know you brought you had mentioned another team that is very interested in him.
In Dougie Hamilton?
Yeah.
Who did I bring up?
You say the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh,
and
yes.
You mentioning that that's a team that would be eyeing a player like that.
Yeah. So I was reading before that Toronto does want him, which is ironic considering, you know, we're talking before the started recording that they could have had Hamilton all along. He was part of that Kessel trade that ended up netting Tyler Seguin and Dougie Hamilton to Boston. But they wanted.
You have to remember,
it's draft picks, and then
we don't know who Toronto would have actually selected.
Right? They could have picked fucking that draft's version of Hugh Jessamine, and it doesn't matter. Or you can be like. So, for example, who was it? Was it Cam Neely? The other, like within the last week or two, they revisited that draft, the one where they pick like Zboril, Senishin, and DeBrusk, 14, 15, 16 one.
Yeah, when they're not going to have any of them.
No.
Barzal.
But they could have had Barzal. They could have had, I forget the other two guys, but someone came, they came out and said, because Don Sweeney had just been hired a few weeks before that draft. And Cam Neely came out and said, in hindsight, it would have been nice if we had a little bit more time to figure out who to draft that year when you leave guys like Barzal on the table. But yeah, for Boston, for the Islanders, wow, for the Maple Leafs to go after Dougie Hamilton, they're probably going to have to move out either a Morgan Riley or a Willie Nylander. I don't know that it makes a ton of sense to do that, especially Riley. Like, they're pretty similar players to begin with. At this point, are you really grasping at straws to look at the major differences between the two? And you've already got Morgan Riley, who's one of the leaders on your team. A lot of guys say that he's really the true captain on that squad. So I don't know. I understand wanting the new shiny thing and the player and all that, but Morgan Riley is nothing to, you know.
Yeah. You know. So a couple things here. We'll go back to the 2011 draft. That's where the Bruins selected Dougie Hamilton 9th overall. Here's a couple names that if you want to say Toronto wouldn't have made that same pick. Maybe they wind up with a Duncan Siemens, who is drafted 11th overall.
Yeah.
Another one of those big defensemen. Like
Colorado.
Yep. Maybe that.
I hear he's in the furniture game now.
A Mark McNeil, who went 18th overall to Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
Maybe it's, Toronto did draft at number 22.
Was it Kapanen?
Tyler Biggs.
Oh, Tyler Biggs. Yeah.
So you know that they were not on their game for that one.
No.
And then going to the 2015 draft, Boston had the 13, 14, and 15 picks. Here's a couple names. So we mentioned Barzal at 16. Kyle Connor, 17.
Yeah.
Thomas Chabot, 18.
That's it. You could have those three in a row. How different would that team be?
Yeah. Here, let me go a couple more. Joel Eriksson-Ek, 20. Yeah. Colin White, 21. Ilya Samsonov, 22. Brock Besser, 23. Travis Konechny, 24. Jack Roslovic, 25. And that also leaves out Sebastian Aho, who was drafted in the second round.
Honestly, not a bad draft.
That's a great draft. That's the McDavid Eichel.
Yeah.
So, and some of these players are finally getting playing up to their capabilities. I mean, Pavel Zacha finally had a really good year on a terrible team. I mean, Denis Gurianov has had his coming out party. Anthony Beauvillier. I mean, you watch that line in the playoffs with him, Nelson, and Bailey.
The Killer Bees line.
Yeah, terrible name.
The Bruins should have a team called the Killer Bees, not the Islanders.
Right, yeah. It's pretty interesting. Also, Eric Cernak drafted 43rd overall. Mackenzie Blackwood, 42nd overall. We got some good names. Rupe Hintz, 49 overall.
There you go.
So they got Gurianov and Hintz. Jordan Greenway, 50th overall. Man, I love looking at this draft. Going back to Toronto,
who did we pick that year? Did we have a first-round pick that year, or was it still during the era of no first-round picks for the Rangers?
I think that was the era of no first-round picks, but let's see. Our pick, would have 2015. Been...
Would that be
part of the... Anthony Beauvillier pick, which was from the Rangers via Tampa Bay.
Right.
So we traded our first to Tampa.
Was that the Marty St. Louis trade?
Yep. And then Tampa traded it to the Islanders. What would that trade have been? Yep. I can't think of it.
Is it the St. Louis Callahan trade?
Yeah, but how did the Islanders get it from Tampa? Man, I can't remember that at all.
Was there a goalie of some sort? No. Is Rollison...
Goalie.
No.
It was like to move up. So the New York Rangers first round pick went to the Islanders. It looked like it was just to move up in the draft.
Okay, that's gotcha.
So that's what that's happened it. There. So that was interesting radio. but yeah, I mean, as I was saying, like Dougie Hamilton rumors to Toronto. One, as you said, it doesn't make sense. You already have Morgan Riley. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to sign him to a contract, but you have to do that for Dougie Hamilton anyway.
Yeah, I think Toronto should be worrying more about the 5-6 part of their defense and not so much the top four right now. I think they're pretty set with Brody and Muzzin and Riley, and then now you got Sandin, who's probably going to be in that. So I don't think defense is really the issue. Like, bring in a couple, you know, do another Zach Bogosian type guy.
I imagine they bring him back.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is just anytime there's a marquee player available, I mean, there's going to be rumors that Toronto is interested.
Leafs acquire Jack Eichel and Dougie Hamilton and the rights to Matty Beniers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how they make any of that stuff work. So, also, it doesn't seem like a perfect fit for me either. I wonder what teams Dougie has been talking to. I haven't heard many rumors. You hear, you know, he'd be a great fit here. I'm sure this team's interested. But I wonder where Dougie is at.
Yeah, and I also wonder how it is going to be affected by the expansion draft. And let's say a team, just to use it as an example, the Rangers, right? We have no need to protect Libra Hayek. So we technically could make a move for Dougie Hamilton, protect him, blah, 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 blah. Will a team that has an extra spot available that for a guy they don't really want to protect make that move earlier versus another team who would prefer to wait till after the draft? And how does that affect the way the landscape of this works?
Or how about a team that has, you know, a spot and some extra cap space becomes a facilitator for this trade?
Right.
Dougie wants $8 million and Tampa wants Dougie Hamilton, but they could only afford to give him $4 million. So they trade him to this team. They could protect him for the expansion draft. And then they eat 50% and Tampa, you know, trades them whatever in the future.
And now they've got 8 years of $4 million of Dougie Hamilton because that's what Tampa does.
Yeah. I doubt something like that would happen, yeah. But interesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I wonder where he's at. I really do hope, and I do think it would be a good fit for him to come to the Rangers. But we will see it. In due time, this is something that we know will happen. It's will happen before a Seth Jones thing happens, I'm sure. So yeah, that's exciting. Did you see Jason Spezza re-signed with the Leafs?
Another year at league minimum. I think it's a good fit. I mean, he was, you know, obviously one of their best players in the playoffs, which what does that say about the Leafs? But you know, at least he was good. And,
yeah, but a nice little – we keep talking about the expansion draft. I mean, they're going to expose him.
Yep.
Which helps them out. And Seattle knows if we take Jason Spezza, he's just going to retire. So, yeah. I mean, as I said, for Toronto, it comes down to do you want Dermott or do you want Kerfoot?
Yeah.
I imagine it's going to be Kerfoot.
Yeah.
Another player who signed today was Blake Como. One more year with Dallas for $1 million. Could have been a restricted agent. So, you know, respectable deal for you know, an older player, seems to be a good fit there. 35 years old. Yeah, I no problem with, you know, bringing back Como for another year.
Yeah, no, you know, respected veteran around the locker room and a guy who just knows his role. And, you know, he was part of that team, obviously, that went to the cup final. And, you know, good fit. Good fit, for especially for on a one-year cheap deal. What do you have to lose there?
Yeah, quick trivia question. What team drafted Blake Como?
Oh, no. I know it's not the Islanders.
No, it is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then never mind. Hey, he played there for like a while.
Yeah.
And then he went to Colorado, and I think he was in Calgary and definitely a Penguin for like a minute.
Columbus. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here we go. 47th overall, 2004.
I remember Blake Como well from that time period. That was when, you know, some of those Islanders would play street hockey with us because they were around. And I remember, he was a really nice guy. And when he finally broke into the league, I think like 2006 or so.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, solid career.
His career high in points, 46 points way back in 2010-11 with the Islanders.
Yeah, but it just shows that he does so much more. Yeah.
He's usually like he hovers in that 30-ish point range, which is like you need guys like that. You can't just have like 10 Austin Matthews on your team, A, because salary cap era and because of like matchups and stuff. So Blake Como is a guy that, you know, he's a perfect for your bottom six. You know, he's not going to be out of position too often, and he's a guy that you don't mind having out there.
Yeah. And the Islanders lost him on waivers.
Good job.
Great asset management.
A guy who's still playing in the league 10 years later.
Yeah. Speaking of the Islanders and Seattle, Seattle seems to be the team that is, left at the table looking for a head coach. Obviously, they were definitely interested in bringing in Brind'Amour. I think there was some interest in Gallant. But I think they might be waiting for the playoffs to end and potentially offer the job to Lane Lambert, the assistant for the Islanders.
See, here I thought that they would then be all in on the Rick Tocchet train.
Yeah, I don't think so, because if that were to happen, I think that would have happened already. I think, you know, Lambert was with the Admirals and then joined Trotz in Nashville, followed Trotz to Washington and then the Islanders. So, I mean, if you're looking at the Islanders going, man, that's a very well-coached team. I wish we could have Barry Trotz. How about the next best then?
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, you know,
I just think the if Tocchet was to sign, it probably would have happened by now.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was even reading just yesterday that if Tocchet doesn't get the Seattle job, it's looking like he's going to go to Calgary as an assistant.
Yeah,
is the backup move, but no, I do think it's weird. You know, because the big three names were obviously Tocchet three. And then Gallant and Rod 2-1, depending on your preference. Gallant comes to the Rangers. Brind'Amour stays with Carolina. So you would think that that opens the door for Tocchet to go sign. You know, guys like David Quinn are still out there. Not that
Tortorella.
Tortorella's still out there.
And Buffalo is the other team because they haven't come up with their decision on Granato yet.
Yeah, which I think is crazy. I think they should.
So sign there's two jobs available, and we just listed off like six viable options.
Some guys are going to be. I think David Quinn's going to be an assistant somewhere. I guess it's looking like Tocchet. It's probably like he was the the number two for the Rangers job, but that Gallant was clearly the number one.
So, no, number one was.
Well, Sullivan. Number one was Sullivan / Brind'Amour if they became available, and then.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I do think it's odd that Tocchet had the second that the other guy signed, that Tocchet didn't immediately get named for Seattle. which, you know, raises some eyebrows that, you know, maybe there is someone else that they really want and they're just waiting to see how things play out in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we just got a signing.
Who we got?
Matt Nieto.
Oh, with San Jose.
Yes, a 2-year contract. Could have been a UFA, 28 years old. I think he is a California guy. I think he's from there. Finances not released yet. But yeah, Matt Nieto, 2-year contract. Look at him.
There you go. Good for him. He's a Long Beach boy, but the other Long Beach.
Oh, right. I knew he was California. The wrong Long Beach.
Wrong Beach.
Yeah. But he seems to be quite happy there. He's carving out a decent career for himself. First round draft pick.
He was with Colorado before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's not a bad player. Nice little third line guy.
Yeah. Started with San Jose, went to Colorado for a couple of years, and then found his way back. So.
Yep. You know, he said, you know, as a Cali boy, he's probably like, I'm tired of these mountains and snowboarding. Just get bullshit. Get me back to California.
I'm tired of being on a good team.
Going back to Cali.
So, where we have all these signings, as I said, you know, the games are still going on. I'm still monitoring what else might be going on. Did you see that the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade rumors are back in effect?
Boston's back in.
It's not only just Boston and Vancouver now. It said the Coyotes are trying to work out a trade. If they come to terms on a trade, they'll see if OEL accepts to go there. That's how they're working it now.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's probably the more sensical way to do it. Because
it's a lot of work for potentially nothing,
which is a nightmare. But, you know, like, let's say Team X comes up and he's just like, oh, you know what? That's one I wasn't really thinking about. Yeah, sure, let's do it. You know, because it really handcuffs team when he's just like, Vancouver or Boston, don't call me until then. Goodbye.
Yeah, especially when Vancouver has no money. And
Boston's going to have to pay Taylor Hall and Krejci and whoever else.
Rask.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
But Rask, what do you think of this idea? Because Rask needs the hip surgery and is going to be out to like January, long-term February. IR? Yeah, but not just long-term IR. Sign him to like a ridiculous cap hit.
One year, $11 million LTIR for the whole year.
Yep.
You could.
Sure. I mean, if you want if people keep complaining about these rules, all Boston has to do that. And I would imagine the next year that rule changes.
Yeah. I mean, shit, take advantage of it while you can. Actually, if you're what's his name, Jeremy Jacobs of Boston, and you want that rule changed, that's how you do it. And then you benefit both ways. It's like, I get to pay this guy, he doesn't have to play, and we get the rule changed. Bam, bam, bam.
I think what's actually going to happen is they're not going to sign him until like January.
No, they're going to wait till he's ready to play, and then he's going to get like a prorated whatever deal, and then there you go.
It's going to be one of those things where let's see how far we can get, and then out of the corner, the day before
the trade deadline, suddenly he's back.
Yeah. So just some interesting things to look out for. The one last thing on the Kraken before moving on. They just got a new TV analyst.
Yeah. JT Brown, former Minnesota Wild, Tampa Bay Lightning. He had a little spell.
Anaheim Duck.
He played out for in Sweden for the last couple of years. JT Brown retires and subsequently becomes a new TV analyst with the Kraken, along with John Forslund.
Yeah, pretty cool that, you know, he's getting this opportunity, like, coming right out of his playing career. You know, just going straight to being a TV analyst. They're giving him a big shot here, and I'm excited to see what he has to say. I'm really excited. I think he's going to bring a lot to it. And I just keep loving what the Kraken are doing with their diversity hirings.
Yep.
You know, be it, you know, all the female scouts that they've been hiring, and, you know, other females in higher up positions. Yep. They posted a
cool thing about Juneteenth the other day.
So. Yeah. So it's great. You know, JT Brown, you know, one of those players who, you know, before anyone in the NHL really did it, was, you know, put his fist up for the anthem.
Yep.
Back in Tampa. And I don't think he played too much more after that in Tampa, which is sad to see, but, good for him. And, you know, I'm definitely excited to watch a Kraken broadcast.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes and ears, especially after the success that we saw with Vegas. You know, expectations are going to be high. Right? They're already high for Seattle, and they haven't even picked anybody yet.
They shouldn't be.
They should. No, you're right. They shouldn't be.
But I feel like everyone's already come out and said we're not going to spend to the cap. So
did they?
Yeah. We don't want your problems.
Yeah.
They're not going to be the same as Vegas. They're taking the more traditional approach.
Yeah.
Where they're gonna take a bunch of young guys and try to build that way. They're not going to, you know, start, you know, take a couple of those young guys and flip them right away, or start flipping draft picks. I think that they're going to, you know, do this the original way of having an expansion team.
Well, but hopefully they don't go the way of the Thrashers or the 95 because, Ottawa.
Because the expansion rules are still so much better. They still will get
a lot of good players. And then, you know, I'm still saying it, like, TJ Oshie is going to be their first captain. So even just with guys like that, and then maybe you get a Fleury or a Leonard or something. Like, no, you know, they're going to get some good players.
You're already too expensive.
they're gonna spend some money. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's going to be exciting to see what Seattle does once they actually start picking players. But I do like a lot of what they're doing off ice so far, as far as like marketing and. And, you know, like you said, they're diversion, inclusion, inclusivity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Also,
is inclusivity a word?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because inclusivity is a word, so inclusivity's got to be a word.
The Thrashers draft, their expansion draft, the rules were so far against them. Where they couldn't get anyone good.
Yeah.
I mean, I can read off names.
Minnesota and Columbus came in together and they had the same pool of people to grab.
I could read off names and I don't think you'd know any of these guys.
I'm sure.
I mean, I only recognize
Was Ray Ferraro an expansion?
Peter Ferraro.
Peter and Chris, the twins.
Yeah, Peter, that's who they took from Boston.
Jesus.
So
career ECHLer, not even.
Yeah, I mean, can you remember who they took from the New York Rangers?
Radek Bonk?
Chris Tamer.
Great. That guy.
Yeah. Do you remember that guy?
I have no recollection of him existing as a person. I'm sorry, Chris Tamer, if you're listening.
He played 52 games for the Rangers. One goal, five assists.
I've been to 52 games of the Rangers, probably.
Yeah.
Same thing.
He played a couple years for the Penguins before that.
Gotcha. Defenseman? Forward?
Defenseman.
Gotcha.
So, here's a couple names. Trevor Kidd.
Oh, goalie. Yeah. Okay.
So, here's the other two goalies. Norm Marichal.
Norm McDonald, yep.
And Corey Schwab.
He's an investor now.
Yeah. Here's Peter Buzek, Brett Clark, Kevin Dean, Maxim Galanov, David Harlock, Jamie Pusher, Daryl Shannon, Mark Tenorti, Yannick Tremblay, Kelly Butchberger, Phil Crow, Jody Hull, Matt Johnson, Steve Steos, I remember him.
Okay, defenseman, he played with Calgary and I think Edmonton at one point.
Yeah. Mike Stapleton, Ed Ward, Terry Yake.
Jesus,
I mean, Christ. This is just
so far you've named three people that I know.
Yeah, and then their deals netted them Damian Rhodes, Ulf Samuelson, and not even Damon Lankow, Scott Lankow. Who the hell is that? No. The goalie.
I know Ray Ferraro ended up there within the next year or two, I guess. I thought he was on that first team.
Yeah. I mean, the Peter Ferraro was just traded right back to Boston.
There you go.
Trevor Kidd was traded right away. You know, so all the names that we even know, Mark Tenorti retired before the season began.
See, I'm not going down there. I'm all set.
Yeah. And now his son plays in the league.
Oh, is that Jared Tenorti's?
Yep. So the rules are much better for Seattle to have a good team. I expect them to be getting a bunch of 24 to 27 year olds and trying to mash it all together.
Max Domi.
We'll see.
Max Domi will end up in Seattle.
I mean, he's one of the few players that I'm sure Columbus will protect. But
yeah.
That's actually worth something. I mean, they have to protect Exit now. But that's the other thing. Teams need assigned players to protect. Teams need assigned players to expose. But let's get into the games. To start off, where we sit right now, both series are tied 2-2.
Yep.
I picked Tampa and Vegas.
Yep.
I think you did as well.
I did. My heart says Montreal, but it's really going to be Vegas.
Well, that's where you're going to get that tattoo if they win. So where they are 2-2 right now, do you want to change either of those picks?
No, because the thing is that I really think that Montreal needed to win game four, because now you go back and Vegas has home ice the rest of the way. Obviously the pressure is more in Vegas. Even like Gallagher came out today and said that like the pressure is on Vegas to really win this series. And the longer it goes, the better it goes for Montreal. But they really needed to go up 3-1 versus 2-2. You're putting way too much power back into Vegas's hands here. And I think Leonard, who played an awesome game, he thanked all his haters on Twitter after the game. But do you think we see Leonard for the rest of the way now?
That was my question to you. I think they got to give him the next game.
I think you have to. He's earned the next game.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting to, you know, from here on out.
Yeah.
And if Leonard is the guy who gets you to the cup, he's going to probably be your guy. And then you see Leonard against the Islanders.
Did you see that stupid fucking Long Island tattoo that he's got on his neck?
Yeah, he's had it for
I know, because he had it when he was there. I forgot about it till yesterday.
Yeah. But, you know, it could be him potentially against the Islanders, the team that didn't bring him back. But, yeah, I'm not changing my picks either.
I think we're going to see Tampa Vegas as the final.
Tampa, I think, that's what I'm hoping for. I think that would be the most exciting. But, I mean, it's 2-2. It's these are now three-game series from here on out. You started mentioning the Vegas series. I guess we'll stay on that one.
Yeah.
It seems like Chandler Stephenson is working towards coming back. I don't know if he's going to be ready for the next game. But it's – if I were potentially the Islanders or Tampa Bay, I'd be real worried about my top line centers. I'd be worried about Braden Point or Matt Barzal, because if Montreal wins, something bad is going to happen to one of those guys, whoever they play. Right?
Oh, yeah.
John Tavares in the first round. You had Mark Scheifele getting suspended in the second.
Yep.
And now Chandler Stephenson in the third. So Braden Point, Matt Barzal, been warned. If Montreal does happen to beat Vegas and Gouley gets that tattoo, you're in trouble. So be careful. We addressed the Leonard
Flurry thing. I think their win last night in overtime just showed that they're the more experienced and ready team. I think they outplayed Montreal the entire game.
Oh, yeah, the shots were like 2-1 at one point.
Yeah, I think Montreal, yeah, as I said there, Anderson has just been phenomenal and great to watch. Carey Price is
he let up a stinker on that McNabb goal, but other than that.
But still, yeah, to even get this team there.
Oh yeah.
Man, it's a boring, bruising style of hockey to play.
Yeah,
you could tell that Montreal is real beat up.
Yeah, and speaking of bruising and beating up, what'd you think of that little Shea Weber and who was it on Vegas?
When he ripped his head off?
Thomas Nosek. When they were just like basically beating the shit out of each other and the ref's like, nah, no call. He gets boarded by Nosek, nothing. He goes back, punches Nosek in the back of the head, nothing. Cross-checks him, nothing. Like,
I thought it was cool that Nosek stood up to him and that like he showed that he wasn't scared of a guy who could kill him. And then Shea Weber, I also thought it was cool that he didn't kill him because he realized that he could kill him. So he just ripped his helmet off.
Yeah.
It's every year, but it just seems like it gets worse. The officiating.
Yeah. But then they call that little hook later in the game. That was like nothing. So like, if you're the players, it's got to be frustrating. You don't know what you can and can't do. Clearly, you can fucking cross-check a guy in the face and you're not going to get called for it. But like, if you poke him a little bit, you're going to get 2 minutes for that. So it's hard, you know.
I'm still upset that Palmieri didn't get suspended for his hit on McAvoy.
Yeah, and then if you even look back to Corey Perry.
That to me was a 5-game suspension, at least. It was the most blatant headshot that had nothing to do with the play.
Yeah.
And he didn't even get a penalty for it.
I understand.
I'm still upset about that.
I understand that in the playoffs you want to let the boys go a little bit more, but there is definitely a line that you shouldn't let them be crossing. And we've seen a couple instances where they have.
Yeah, so. And we've seen some makeup calls, and all a makeup call is instead of getting one call wrong, now you got two calls wrong.
Yep.
So, I don't know. There's no winning. Do you think that? I mean, you're still saying that Vegas is going to win.
I think so. I really want Montreal to win, but I think.
Do you think it goes seven, or if it goes seven, that could maybe tilt it in Montreal's favor?
That's what I was thinking. If it goes seven, I'd much rather have Carey Price versus either a Fleury or a Leonard in a game seven situation.
But would you rather have Carey Price versus Leonard and Fleury? They each get half a game.
Half at the 10-minute mark of the second period. We switch sides and switch goalies without you noticing. But I think if it goes seven, like I said before, like the Gallagher quote, that the longer the series goes, the more pressure on Vegas it is to win. Game seven would be in Vegas.
I just don't think the Canadians will still be able to skate by game seven.
The thing I worry about, though, is Vegas a center depth? Because especially right now, like after William Carlson, they don't
have centers. Yeah. They were trying Alex Tuck at center, and it's been brutal.
Kolesar moved up to be a third line center, which is probably not an ideal situation.
Would happen when they had to give up Stastny.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Stastny, and I wonder, you know, they're very wing heavy, but is this going to hurt them moving forward? If they do get past Montreal, and then you're stuck playing Tampa, who has Tyler Johnson's your fourth line center over there. Like, how much would Vegas kill to have Tyler Johnson as your second line center today? So I don't know. They might, but but I worry about Vegas moving forward if they do advance over here. While with Montreal, you know, again, like a hot goalie can win you rounds, and we've already seen that. I don't know. Who do you trust more against? Let's say, for example, it's Tampa. or even the Islanders, who do you trust more to win that series? Or is the winner of Tampa, Long Island going to win the cup, regardless of who comes out of the other side?
The Islanders ain't winning no cup. Don't be ridiculous.
They'll never get a cup again. Never.
Do not be ridiculous.
But I'm just saying, like, in terms of
the only chance they have of winning the cup is if they just bore Gary Bettman to sleep and they steal it. And he goes, we'd like to award the Stanley Cup to the Tampa, and then he just falls asleep from watching the Islanders play.
It's because they found out that in a post, post trade deadline, you could still sign guys. They just can't play. So they've decided to sign Nicolas Cage to help them steal the Stanley Cup of Independence.
I'd watch that movie.
He just can't. He can't play in the game, but he can show up to steal the cup. From the guy, I forget his name, the guy who, the keeper of the cup, dude. Pritchard?
Yeah.
Tom
Pritchard. So, I don't know. I just think Tampa's going to win no matter what. But we will get to that. Actually, let's get to Tampa Bay Islanders now. Previous to this last game, Ryan Pulock was my favorite Islander.
Yep.
He's the guy that I find to be the most exciting.
I don't like that sentence.
He plays really good defense, and I love his shot. He is actually an exciting player.
I don't like that you have a favorite Islander.
I watched too many games to not root for individual players. And I can't stand Barzal.
Mine's still Clutterbuck, because I liked him back when he was with Minnesota.
I liked him in Minnesota. Would I rather have him or Nino Niederreiter?
Yeah. Yeah, especially with what you're paying him too.
Yeah. So I no longer like Ryan Pulock, because the end of that game was the most exciting hockey.
Oh yeah,
I've seen, and I got out of my chair.
Oh, if McDonough scored on that,
I thought that's a soft spinorama. Varley was nowhere near the net, and all out of nowhere, Ryan Pulock comes to make the play of the playoffs.
Yeah,
not just for the Islanders, round.
3 seconds up on the clock or whatever. Like that was that was it.
He saved that game. That game goes to overtime. I guarantee Braden Point scores in the fourth overtime, and the Islanders are just dejected. So now I'm a little upset with Ryan Pulock. Still a great player, but man, that was a hell of a way to end a game. Just like the Yankees turning their third triple play of the season yesterday.
Second in the last like five games.
Yeah. In order to end the game. Yeah. It pained me so much that it happened to McDonough, but I'm happy that it happened to McDonough, because if anyone could rebound from that, it's a guy like McDonough. And I think they're going to rally around that. I think Tampa Bay is going to come out extremely strong tonight. I expect them to score three in the first period.
Yeah. Cause they're not going to want it to let the game get to a point where it's going to come down to a last second save.
No,
they're gonna want to blow them out tonight.
Tonight, all pucks on net. No more passing. You got the puck. You're shooting it. You're fighting for rebounds.
The Mack truck is coming through today.
It's so I fully expect fireworks in this game tonight. But man, Ryan Pulock. I mean,
never mind the Pulocks. That's a shirt.
I mean, he deserves something to be the third guy with the cup if they win it. He deserves.
Does he wear the A over there?
No, he doesn't.
He will next year.
No, probably not. But I mean, it's cool to see him turn into this player where, he was mostly known for that big shot, and now he's one of the most dependable defensemen out there with Adam Pellick, to one of the best shutdown D pairings that could also provide points from the back end. It took Pulock a couple of years to warm up to that role. He's finally taken it. And
yeah, what better timing than the non-conference but semi-finals?
Yeah. So do you think this one goes seven?
I don't. I think Tampa's going to win the next two. And I might be just saying that as like a Ranger fan, whatever. I really just think that
that as a Tampa fan.
Yeah, I think Tampa at this point is just like, all right, we're done fucking around. It's time to go back to back, and for Patty Maroon to go back to back to back.
Yeah, and then I hope is Pat Maroon on an expiring contract?
I think so. I think he only signed a 1-year deal.
I think so too. So New York Rangers.
Let's go. Let's go win a cup with Patty Maroon. Let's get him four in a row.
Let's get the big rig up here. I mean, he does fill a need.
Oh yeah, exactly. A hard line presence on, you know, in your bottom six. He's exactly what the Rangers are lacking right now.
Yeah.
So Tom Wilson doesn't happen if Patty Maroon's on the ice, maybe.
Yeah, but does Pat Maroon go on the ice when Tom Wilson's on the ice?
Well, no, but the next shift.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's where we're at. We both agree. We're sticking with our picks. We think that, you know, Vegas, Montreal has the most potential to go seven. We do expect Tampa to come out strong in this next one. So you and I are both on the same page here.
Yep.
Feels pretty good, don't it?
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
You got any other hockey stuff before we move on? Anything you want to mention?
No, I think that was it.
You want to mention that you know, there's probably fake Russian rumors out there about Kirill Kaprizov returning to the KHL?
Yeah,
I don't believe that for a second.
I
don't believe it.
I think he's there for a wedding. They've already confirmed that he's out there for former teammates' wedding, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not teams, you know, I'm sure Seska wants to talk to him, just because they offer him doesn't mean that he's going to go there. But no, I think Bill Guerin will get it done. It's probably just an impasse, because like, if you're Kirill Kaprizov, you probably don't want an 8-year deal. You want a bridge deal so you can maximize the money you'll make later. Guerin, of course, obviously wants to fucking lock him up as soon as possible. And I'm sure that's just what the impasse is right now.
It would be the biggest punch in the dick to the Minnesota Wild if this happened. They finally become an exciting team. You know, they have a decent lineup. They finally got this guy over here after all these years. One and done.
If if Kaprizov does end up going back to the KHL, does this undo all the goodwill that Bill Guerin has done so far?
No, absolutely not. Because Guerin did a lot more than just Kaprizov, and he got him over here for the 1 year. I don't think it undoes anything. And doesn't take away anything from Bill Guerin. So
I agree.
Yeah. Let's see what else, anything else in terms of hockey? I'm pretty content. You doing any punk shit this week?
Well, it depends on what you define as punk. just to give you a little,
if you have to start with that, I'm going to say no.
I bought tickets to a show yesterday. Me and some friends, we are going to the Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, City Field show in August. So again, it depends on what you define as punk, but I'm sure it'll be a good time. It'll be fun. Weezer's always good live. Green Day's always good live. I've never seen Fall Out Boy live, so
Fall Out Boy is garbage. I cannot, for the life of me, understand Weezer.
You don't like Weezer?
Like
any of it?
Sure. Like the Buddy Holly song is novel. The Sweater song, novel. Everyone says get the blue album, the green album, the black album, whatever the fuck it is. I've had them all. I don't get it.
I'll give you three albums to listen to. No,
don't give me nothing. I don't want homework from you. You listen to me now. Everyone say, you know, Rivers Cuomo is such a, he's a genius. Yeah, he's a genius for writing shit songs and convincing people that they're good. I don't fucking get it. And everyone, you know, you talk to these aging punks and they're like, yeah, but a huge Weezer fan. And I listen to Nirvana. I go, you're not a punk. You just have shitty taste in music. Like, two of the worst bands I could think of. I mean, don't tell me that you went to Madison Square Garden last night to see the Foo Fighters. No, that's another piece of shit band.
They brought out Dave Chappelle to sing Creep, and that was a combination I don't think anybody asked for.
What's Creep?
Because I'm a creep, I'm a weirdo, the hell am I doing here? You know, the radio.
I mean, I don't know any Foo Fighters songs, so I don't know it. Nor do I know any Dave Chappelle songs. So do I want to... It would be bad enough that I'm seeing the Foo Fighters, now I have to see Dave Chappelle sing? Tell me a fucking joke. You're a funny guy. I mean, maybe that was the joke. I don't know. But... Weezer, garbage. Foo Fighters, garbage. Nirvana, garbage. Any other bands? Because they're probably garbage too.
I knew.
Never
I
hear was the band Garbage.
Garbage, garbage.
They remind me of garbage, not the band.
Oh man, I knew I'd get a rise out of you with that one, which is why I gave
I'm
you
upset
the pre. Oh man, and you don't even want to know how much money I spent on that, but.
I mean, you spent a dollar on that. I'd be upset.
It'll be a fun time. Green Day, recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
Sure, but now...
Recent NHL band of the year.
They're probably not even the headliner.
No, I think they are. Actually, they might be alternating nights. I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, you see Green Day set list when they are the headliner. They hardly play any of the good songs.
Now you're going to see them as like,
ugh.
I don't like them. I might show if they are on the tour, I might show up late.
Wasn't she on the Alex Jones show?
Was she?
Yeah, I think she was.
Oh, no. Is she one of those?
Interrupters. I don't even want to type this into my search bar.
You're going to get so many weird sponsored ads now.
Pardon the interrupters. Meet the ska punks with an InfoWars. What's the rest of this headline? With it. I don't know. Yeah, I think she was on InfoWars.
That's so weird.
It's like the story that I heard, and I'm sticking to it.
But yeah, that's what I did this week.
All right. So let's see.
Is this the last shit. Episode of the podcast now? Did that just...
Yeah.
Retiring?
So let me give this some punk cred here.
Okay. Come on, get real crusty. Come on, give it to me.
I went down a rabbit hole this past weekend.
Okay, who you got?
The Bloodhound Gang.
Okay, there we go. a little Foxtrot uniform in?
Yeah, which funnily?
It took me a decade to get that one.
Is funnily a word?
Funnily? Yeah, funnily. It's got to be a word.
Like when you use something like a funnel?
More fun is not funner. Funnily, like funnily enough. Yeah, funnily is a word.
All right. Well, the Young Rochelles, we never did it at a show, but we used to play Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo.
Which, like I said, it took me a decade to figure out. It was one of those
really,
things
because
like,
all
wasn't
it is
attention.
is just you know, yeah. But fuck. And then all the lyrics are just I want to say analogies, but I know that's not the word. But
anagram? No.
No, it's just he's just talking about fucking the whole time.
That's it.
Song is great. That's actually the song that I heard. So I was getting tattooed.
Aren't all songs about fucking, if you really think
about it? Hell yeah. If you listen to Kiss.
Your love gun. So,
yeah. I was getting tattooed and they put on, actually, I think it was Green Day Radio.
Uh-huh.
Which, wow, that brought up a lot of turds. So when the Bloodhound Gang came on, I was like, this is the best thing that's come on since Green Day. That not only it was Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo,
a little Bad Touch,
and then the Bad Touch.
Yeah.
They played both songs. You know, they have much better songs than those, But I was sitting there going, man, Bloodhound Gang, they got some good songs. I wonder how bad they were live.
Oh, my God.
So I sat at home the next day, and I watched on YouTube. It was like MTV Big Day Out in Germany.
Oh,
and or something.
The big one was in the Australia one in 2000 was like the big
one. Yeah, this one was in Germany, so they weren't even on the big one. Or maybe they were. I just watched this, and man, they are pretty bad live.
Oh, I can't imagine them being good live.
But those songs are still good. So
they were best friends with Bam Margera and showed up on Viva La Bam all the time.
Yeah. So Bloodhound Gang. But on a more serious note, Jeff Palmer, my buddy Jeff Palmer, I think I mentioned him a couple weeks ago with the last single that he released, Manny yeah. More Drugs, which is what he thought Manny Moe and Jack from the Dickies was. He announced his new album called Charts and Graphics. Nice. And released a new single off that called This Monkey. And it's been getting play on Faction and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Bloodhound Gang, because they wear those monkey suits.
That's right. And, there's a music video. So Kurt Baker's playing bass in it. There's a lot of cool stuff. Watch the video. The song is really interesting. Really into it. And mixed by Mike Kennedy.
There you go.
So
how do we get on Faction? Who do I got to yell at?
I don't think they play long hockey podcasts on Faction.
Here, this is next song. 2 hour podcast.
So that's Jeff Palmer. Go check him out. I'm really excited to hear the rest of the album, which comes out July 23rd. And the other thing that I want to mention was Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Yep.
They Good announced story. Their new album, which is called Six Sesh. It is going to be also known as the Orange Cover. Because that is the color of it. Yeah.
You know, for a band who shit on Weezer, TBR has clearly been doing the same gimmick for the last decade.
No, TBR is good. they released a music video for the first single, Ghost Story. Cool song, great video.
Yeah. I love the concept, which is like he dies and he comes back. Instead of haunting her, they're just hanging out, but he's a ghost now.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
I think Miguel wrote that song.
Okay.
Cool song. I like that Miguel's writing more.
He wrote Bloodbath. No, did he do Bloodbath or Burger King? No, he did The Punk House of Horror, I think was one of his. Oh no, it's about his house though.
And Mutilate Me is about him. Yep. So there's more songs about Miguel, but a quick shout out, Ray from Teenage Bottle Rocket.
Got married.
Yeah. So a
surprise reverse wedding.
Yeah. You know, everyone thought they were showing up for a baby shower, cause they're having a child soon, and they surprised everyone by having a nice little wedding. So, congrats to Ray. Real excited for him, real happy for him. Looking at this track list for the new Teenage Bottle Rocket album that comes out August 27th, there are some great song titles on here that I just can't wait for. So here, let me run down these song titles and you tell me what song you can't wait for.
Okay.
What song do you think is going to be your favorite?
The hit. Okay. Or my hit. Yeah.
Yeah. Semi-Truck. You're Never Going Out of Style.
Okay.
Ghost Story, which you've heard already.
Yeah.
Never Sing Along. Strung Out on Stress. Statistic. Hello, Dana. Spend the Night. The Squirrel.
Oh, The Squirrel. That's got to be that's definitely a Cody song.
Theoretical Reality,
probably a Cody
song. Guerrilla Warfare, and that's guerrilla as in the animal, not as in guerrilla warfare. And then Moving On.
I think The Squirrel is gonna be the one.
The Squirrel.
The Squirrel. That's what I'm
You're
ready
pretty
for.
Big on strung out on stress.
I like that one too. I like that one too.
Yeah. So just by looking at the song titles, I'm real excited. I know this is going to be great. I mean, Teenage Bottle Rocket. I mean, they don't do anything subpar. I love those guys. Miss them all. Maybe we'll have Chuka on soon. Again. To when this album comes out.
Yep.
We'll have him on at the end of the summer.
We won't ask him about the Winnipeg Jets. I'm sorry, Derek.
So, those were the two things that, I heard the singles. I'm excited for those albums to come out. But in the meantime, listen to a bunch of Bloodhound Gang.
There you go.
Also was listening to a bunch of Toys That Kill.
Fuck yeah.
If that helps. That's a great band. That is an excellent, excellent band.
So before Heck came out, one of the names that we were toying with was for that album was Drinks That Spill.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't go with that.
You wouldn't have joined the band if we did.
Exactly.
You'd be like, I don't know, guys. But are you ready for some lightning round? Tampa Bay lightning round questions.
I think so.
All right.
Let's get it over with.
All right.
I'm going to be real long-winded with my answers, though.
Good, because one of the questions might need some in-depth. If you could change one rule in the NHL, what would it be?
No coaches on the bench.
No coaches on the bench?
Yep. They could watch from up top. And they can talk to you during intermission.
Who's calling line changes and minutes and all that?
You ever play men's league?
You're rolling? Just rolling for it.
Maybe the captains or something. I don't know.
There you go.
Get the coaches out of there, which would also potentially, hopefully, remove the iPads from the bench.
Oh, my God, the fucking iPads.
So I guess those aren't really – I don't know. Those aren't so much of rules. I guess that wasn't really what you were asking, but
– I'll take it as an answer. That's fine.
And no coaches. More
anarchy. No coaches. All right. So you're a teacher. If if not a teacher, what would you be?
Probably happier.
Look, you got summers off. I don't want to hear it, okay?
Yeah, after this this week. But there's still a lot of shit to do over the summer. It's not I can't think about it and don't work towards
prepping
it.
Prepping for the next year and softball at some point. And
constantly doing everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. Maybe I'd work it's still connected. Maybe I'd work at a museum or maybe even a zoo.
Okay.
I don't know. Still, I mean, both of those still have to deal with education. And, those are pretty similar jobs. What would be like out of left field?
A left fielder? Delivery driver.
Yeah. No. I mean, I would, I'd be real happy to work at, like a really cool bookstore.
Okay.
Where I could like zone out and like stock shelves. People come in, I see what they're buying. I could suggest books to them.
Right.
I could, maybe there's a regular who buys a bunch of really good books and then I'm like, ooh, they're buying this book. It must be good. So I pick up that book.
Oh my God. I can see you surrounded as like that little old man. Like when you're like in your like 70s and you're still working. Because at that point, you should have retired, but you just love it so much.
Well, no, exactly. I'm going to be retired, but I'm going to be too bored to
you're
sit at
the old guy, the little old man, saying, like, oh, you should have this book. Like Rookie's Recommendations.
And then I love recommending books.
Yeah.
The problem is all my friends are too dumb to read. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Got him. We are not deleting that. hear that? He just called Teenage Bottle Rocket dumb.
No, they're a bunch of readers. No, they are. No, they love.
I mean, Miguel's got a fucking book. He's working on a second one.
No, he's written three books already. Two in a children's book, and you know, Cody's reading his science fiction and all that stuff. Those guys are readers. I don't know. I feel like that would be fun. The zoning out part and just like stocking shelves and like working in a store where I could listen to music and be around something that I enjoy. It also reminds me of the job that you used to do that I was quite fond of, which was working in a tea warehouse, which, you know, I'm actually still pretty jealous of that. Maybe if you still know someone over there, maybe I could go work there for a summer.
I see who's still there.
Make some extra cash on the side and just do something for fun, something for me where I just tell them, here, you could have this amount of my time and maybe they'll have me. I think I'd really enjoy that.
Yeah.
Good question. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
also there's nothing worse than someone saying or someone telling you good question. Yeah, I fucking know. I asked it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If anyone
really
ever says
such a teacher's pet,
anyone ever says good question to you, they're just wasting time as they're trying to figure out a witty response to your question. It's a time filler. It means nothing.
All killer, no filler. Let's go, baby. Question.
I love The Offspring.
Three of three. If you owned a record label, what would you call it?
I mean, the alliteration's too good for it to be Rookies Records.
Right.
So that's far too easy. Trademark, in case I actually decide to do that.
Does saying it on a podcast that's dated, does that count as like, you know, like how you can like mail yourself something and keep it enclosed?
It works.
Does this count, right? If I just say trademark on a podcast?
It's documented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when all our podcasts go to the Library of Congress.
Right. 5:58 on June 21st, trademarked Rookies Records. There you go.
But if I didn't, I don't know, maybe I would go with like, a foreign name, like you do something in a different language to give it some, but then just the, you know, it'd be like something simple. I don't know. I'd like to do it. I'd like to start a record label.
I know, it's just
because I fancy myself as someone who understands how a lot of that stuff works.
Yeah.
And if I started a record label, that just means I have a lot of disposable income available to me. So it's just good news all around.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in a position, so record label, every record label owner I talk to is like, don't do it because it's just literally money out the window. But if you do it, like you said, it means
a lot of people don't run things as efficient as they should. But sometimes you don't have to because you love what you do, and because you love it so much, you don't have to be as efficient about it. I get that, and I appreciate that, and I value that.
Yeah, and then maybe you're lucky and it's 1994 and you sign Rancid and The Offspring and you're Bad Religion at the same time. And there you go. That's how you do a label, right?
Yeah, it's so funny that you didn't include Green Day in that. But
they weren't on Epitaph.
No, I know not Epitaph, but if you're talking about punk bands in 94 and signing to, you know, big labels and making a ton of money, how are you going to bring that up?
I'll apologize to Green Day when I go see them on August 4th at Citi Field.
Yeah, and Weezer will apologize to you for, I don't know.
Go listen to the White Album.
The White Album?
It's one of the newer, recent
ones. Isn't that the Rolling Stones?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't like the Stones. I shouldn't say I don't like the Stones. I just never really learned any of their.
All right. So I have I just went into my iTunes.
Okay.
I'm still in an iTunes guy. I don't do the Spotify. I don't like streaming. I like owning the MP3s and knowing where everything
is. Because when Spotify goes out of business and all the music disappears, you'll still have yours.
Yeah, and my iTunes library is culled over meticulously. Everything is sorted the way it should be.
You know who's really meticulous about it? Chris.
Really?
He even goes out and finds like album arts that like and he like will reformat it to make it look in the right format for like his iTunes. He like, I've watched him spend hours on just like adding album art to iTunes library.
I knew I liked him. I knew it this whole time.
That's it. This is the moment that I confirmed it for you.
I typed in Weezer into my iTunes. I have the song from the Angus soundtrack because I have the entire Angus soundtrack, which is You Gave Your Love to Me Softly. I don't remember. I don't remember that particular song, but that's a great soundtrack though. If we're talking about some of the the best punk soundtrack of all time, that's gotta Angus? Be. Oh yeah.
What's Angus? Angus never, Young?
You've never seen the movie Angus?
Angus Beef?
You've never seen the movie Angus.
I've never even heard of it.
All right.
Hold on. So, Angus movie. Go ahead. Give me
don't look up anything yet. First.
Oh, this kid looks... Okay, this looks familiar.
All right. But, so, you can figure out what the movie's about. It's great. The first song on the soundtrack, J.A.R., Green Day.
Great.
I think that's where it came out first, but I could be wrong about that.
James Vanderbeek is in this.
Also on the soundtrack, we have the Riverdales, the Muffs, Pansy Division, the Smoking Popes, Goo Goo Dolls. There's more, but you get what I'm getting at here. It's great.
It's one of the kids from American Pie is in it. The kid who plays... I forget the Minkinator, whatever. Okay, the cast: Chris Owen, Kathy Bates, Kevin Connolly, Captain Cons is in it.
Yeah. And it's awesome. So you gotta watch this movie. It's so good. A miserable fat teenager secretly has a crush on the class beauty. Ends up becoming the surprising participant to dance with her at a high school dance. Meaning he's got to get his act together with the help of his best friend.
Huh.
And through all that, you're getting the Riverdales, the Muffs, Green Day, all those bands that I had met.
He's got a narcoleptic grandfather. What is this?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to watch it. I got to find it now.
It's incredible. It's great. So.
Interesting.
But yeah, so I have the...
Oh, there's an alternate cut where Angus's father was supposed to be gay and they cut that out of the movie. Early in production, the film contained scenes wherein Angus's father was gay, reflecting the original story. Producer Dawn Steele at first approved the idea, but upon seeing a test screening, she asked director Johnson to cut it. Hence, it is said early in the film that he died when Angus was born. Jesus. So instead of just having a gay character in your movie, you just kill him off.
Yeah, and it's already like a pretty heavy movie. Oof. No pun intended, because Angus is a bigger boy.
What about Heavyweights? That's a
Heavyweights, one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's a good chunky movie.
One of the best movies of all time.
Oh, so
Weezer, let me just finish about Weezer.
Weezer.
I do have the Green album.
Okay.
Which that hash pipe song, if I never have to hear that song again, I'd be happy. Island in the Sun is not even good. I can't remember another, a single one of these other songs. I have Pinkerton.
Pinkerton's good.
I don't remember those either.
For me, it's Blue Album, Pinkerton, and White Album.
And then I have the Blue Album. Say It Ain't So. The Sweater Song, as I said. Buddy Holly. Those songs are good. So
Surf Wax America is a fun one.
I don't remember that. I remember the name of that one, but I don't know. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough. It ought to be better. This guy's not a genius.
He went to Harvard.
I don't care.
Genius.
You want to?
No.
I know you don't want to. So, I don't know. Just because you went to Harvard doesn't mean you're a genius. I mean, George W. Bush went to Harvard. So.
Well, it's because H.W. probably Lori Loughlin his way in.
Yeah. So, man, Weezer. That's bad, 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 bad. Anything else? That was your third question. I guess we're done, right?
Yeah, that's it. I think we're all set in ways for me to piss you off today. And
game. I'm trying to see when game sevens, if necessary, will be the 25th and the 26th. So this round will be wrapped up before we do our next podcast.
Yep, we will know our Stanley Cup final.
That's Friday and Saturday of this week. So that is the latest that could go. We will know our Stanley Cup final matchup, and we will have our picks. And I guess we will have to do obituaries for two more teams.
Yep.
So exciting stuff to come. The games ought to be better from here on out. I'm excited for tonight's game because I really do think that Tampa's going to bring it. So
I really, yeah.
They gotta. They just gotta.
That's it. The series is over as of tonight.
Series is over as of right now because Tampa Bay has gotta.
Yep.
All right. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the game. I'll be talking to you. Thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Of a girl, you're all that.